And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 362. Well, we're, I guess, you know, 3 months into the year. It's not exactly Halloween yet, but we're joined here today with Shay the Red, actually. Mm-hmm. And nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Nice to meet you. Doing good.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long day. Let's just say that. I got a chance to catch up on sleep. Got a chance to buy some new comic books on Comic Book Wednesday. I did one-on-one earlier with Dr. Gonzo. Then, obviously, I did the conversation video I did with Mike Baron. And then after that, we have you now. So
awesome. I feel honored.
How's your day been, actually?
Oh, we don't got to talk about my day because it's been rough. It's been a rough day. Basically, my job during the day is currently is to basically be a principal for adults. So
what?
Yeah, I work at a schoolhouse that so adults is it for
like
are attending.
Adults that need like GEDs, right?
No, it's just it's like specialty training stuff, and so
okay,
they're there to get trained for their jobs, and I'm there to listen to all of their complaints and tell them that they do have to do their homework, even though they are, you know, 40. Like, you still have to do your homework. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. It's the same thing that I tell people when, you know, you do, like, videos and stuff. I technically do homework for things. It's just how you do research. It's how you get better at learning things. It's called knowledge. And, you know, grown people don't like really hearing that. They think, like, homework is for kids. And it's like, no, you're probably going to be doing homework, for, like, most of your entire life, for the most part.
Well, I mean, I'm a college student, too. So, like, I've full-time military, full-time college student. Well,
really?
Part-time college student, I guess. And then I do this YouTube stuff and cosplay and art and various things like that. So I've got a lot going on.
So you said military. Are you Air Force?
Yeah.
Really? I was just guessing. Oh, that was just so you like fly planes in the air?
No. I have a desk job.
Oh, God. I was like saying... Yeah, that'd be scary as hell. I don't know how people do it. That's scary as hell.
Yeah, I'm not the pilot type. I'm not like, I don't like being in planes. And apparently I get airsick. I didn't realize that. But if the altitude is changing frequently, which happens, you know, with Air Force aircraft, the altitudes tend to change rather frequently. I tend to get airsick. So I'm very happy that I just have a desk job where I work with computers and spreadsheets and boring stuff.
So you wanted to join the Air Force to be a secretary, technically.
I wanted to join the Air Force because before that I had 3 minimum wage jobs and no health care and no chance to go to college.
That's crazy. Wait, no, that is the only reason I wanted to. You had 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you ever have like free time though?
I didn't. I had free time when I got to eat dinner and sleep.
Oh,
and I worked 7 days a week.
7 days a week. So you basically get off one job, go to the next, get off one job, go to the next. No days off.
No. No. Nope.
Wow. What
Never had any days
in?
Off.
You like New York?
No, I was in Utah.
That makes sense. That, yeah.
I had a job working at Dillard's during the day. So I would start my day at Dillard's. I would work there until 4 or 5. I'd have about an hour to get food. And then at about 6 p.m., I would be at Hollywood Video and I worked there until closing. And then after a while, I started splitting my Dillard's job to work at a children's gym, a children's fitness center, which was super fun, but very unstable. And I worked there for a while, and then I finally was like, this is too much. I don't have health care. I can't go see the doctor if I get sick. I'm tired of taking the bus everywhere, and I would really like to maybe get a degree at some point. And so the military seemed like the right move. And now I'm 2 years away from retirement. So
that's crazy.
Yes. And then I get to start my actual career that I want to do, as opposed to the career that...
What do you actually want to do?
So I'm actually going to go into freelance work. I'm going to do working for myself. So I have a lot of things that I already do, a lot of interests. So I have my art, I have my cosplay, I have my YouTube channel. I also am getting a degree in marketing. I'm really good at professional development, team building, effective communications. So I'm looking at setting up a bunch of seminars and things like that where I can get hired from companies. And so they can have me come out and in part the, you know, 20 years worth of military professional development training that I've gotten into their work centers to try and help them be more effective. Mm-hmm. On top of other things, writing, I do voice acting and things like that. So we're basically just going to work for ourselves doing a whole bunch of stuff that's creative that we enjoy.
So and when you write, that's writing for you, like your comic books, I'd imagine, right?
So I've got a couple comic book stories that are mulling around in my head. I also have a couple of nonfiction books that I'm going to be dedicating some time to, kind of documenting parts of my life. I have ADHD, and I think that that's something that a lot of people don't understand a lot about. They think it just means that you like can't sit still and don't listen real well. Mm-hmm. And that there's so much more to it. And I'm one of those people that has a tendency to break things down in a way that other people can understand pretty well. So if I already kind of have that skill set, I want to be able to use it to help educate people on what like ADHD is actually like and how much it actually affects, as well as documenting my time in the military, documenting some of the harder aspects of my life and how I got through them, and then writing some fiction.
Okay. Dang, it sounds like you got everything all figured out, which is crazy because I don't think a lot of people understand those jobs that you were doing, because I have one of them, which is my day job, and then I'm basically doing this, we say full time. There's podcasts I do 7 days a week for the most part, unless like Thursday, it's like 6 days a week for that. Then you have game streams and a lot of our stuff I got to do. A lot of people don't actually know these jobs suck. These aren't like jobs you love. These are jobs where you go and you're like, okay, as long as I'm getting paid, I'm good. That's the fullest extent of why you like them. It's because they give you money. Like, I don't get why people need to understand this too. That's what pays the bills. You know, like when I get my internet bill every month, or I got to pay my rent, landlord ain't trying to hear you're about your feelings. They need money in their hands.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it goes. A lot of people are like a lot of kids now, they're like, I don't want to do those jobs. Then you're going to be homeless. That's just what I got to tell you. That's like, isn't that mean? I don't give a fuck. That is what it is. You do these jobs,
well,
or you'll be homeless.
There's another big aspect to it that people don't realize, because I've had a lot of people, when I said that I want to go into freelance work and I want to basically be a contractor, work for myself, pick who I'm going to work with and change up what I do week to week. People are like, well, isn't that really volatile? Because you don't know that you're always going to have a paycheck. The big thing for me, I come from a family of people who really do not take failure as an option. If something doesn't work out, it just means that you need to learn from it, pivot, and try again, or try a new avenue that maybe you haven't tried before. And that's really apparent. And I even have a brother who built several companies from the ground up and ended up making he's a multimillionaire. And he didn't even get his GED. Like, he dropped out of high school, didn't get his GED. So all these people that think that you have to have like a master's degree or a PhD, you have to have all this kind of stuff. What you have to have is tenacity and being able to hear no, not as a door that's shut, but hearing somebody say like, hey, we don't like this, this isn't working, and go, okay, what would work for you? How can I pivot this? Or maybe you're not the person I need to be talking to. Maybe I need to talk to a different person. And that's why it's a no, because it's a no for you, but it could be a yes for someone else. And just understanding that the drive is what makes entrepreneurs and CEOs and small business owners actually successful.
That's crazy. You just said your brother, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have a high school diploma and he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
That's crazy. A lot of people go, what the fuck? A lot of people probably couldn't even process that concept in their brain. Yeah. They're like, wait a minute. He didn't even get what people would argue is the basic level of education for a normal person. And it has his whole life set. Family's life is probably set. You know,
it's crazy. It's all because he doesn't take no. He doesn't take failure as an option. He actually had people tell him, if you don't get your high school diploma and you don't go to college, you're never going to be able to get like those fancy sports cars that you like. And my brother was like, hold my beer.
Chrysler Lamborghinis.
For real. Like he was telling me about a car that he had custom built that he was having like sent over to him. And he's talking about how much he's putting down for all these various aspects. And I was like, that's an entire car payment for me. And I was like, that is half my mortgage. What are you talking about? You pay this for a damn car. Like, I could buy a house in Utah for that. What are you doing? But I mean, he earned it. He's worked his ass off. And every time somebody tried to shut a door, or tried to knock him down, he had a lot of people that tried to ruin him. And every time it happened, he was like, oh, okay, you want to block me from working with this recycling company, you want to make sure I can't do business with them. And he's like, fantastic, I'll build my own recycling center. And he did. He just turned around and built his own. Was like, okay, if that's how you're gonna do it, this is how I'm gonna adjust. And then everyone went, crap, that actually hurt us.
That thing that you mentioned there is what a lot of people don't have. Tenacity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they constantly can't move forward. I'm pretty sure you've seen those TikTok videos. They came out like, I think, last month. Big ones that actually kind of popped off, where people saw like kids working like at a Burger King or something. It was like a burger place in their area. You know, those like those little smaller ones. They're like, why is this like 15-year-old kid working? And it's like, people, I've been doing random things as work since I was like maybe 11. What?
Oh yeah.
What is with the world?
I used to babysit at 9. Mm-hmm. Like, I was babysitting my nieces and nephews for money at 9 years old. By the time I was 15, I had a restaurant that lied about my age because technically I was too young to work for them. So they aged me up 1 year so they could have me work for them. I worked restaurant jobs. I worked retail. I worked Mary Kay for a while. That was horrible. I used to work a kiosk in the mall. Like, I worked the shit jobs. I worked the horrible jobs to pay my bills and to cover my costs for even high school. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was just kind of, if you want money, this is how you have to go about getting it. You have to actually work. And I think that it really teaches you a lot at a young age that if you put in the effort, yeah, you might be working a shit job now, but now I have skills where I'm never going to have to work those shit jobs again. I can take the skills that I've learned. And as long as I can market myself appropriately and I can actually build on what I already know, I won't have to go back to those jobs. Or if I choose those jobs, it's not going to be because it's that or I don't eat. It's going to be, well, this is actually like a fun boutique to work at, and I don't mind working here 3 days a week and getting a little extra money on the side for, you know, 6 hours. Like, that's cool. I can do that and still have all this time to do all my other stuff. It's really, it's a mindset thing. And a lot of people want all of the accolades without any of the work. And those people are the ones who are always going to be beholden to somebody else, are always going to have somebody who's going to tell them what they can and can't do. And I don't want that anymore. I want to be able to be the one that sets the bar.
Yeah, something that so I think one of my friends mentioned this a long time ago on one of their Yu-Gi-Oh streams. It's like, a lot of people want to be Martin Luther King without doing the Martin Luther King things. Yeah, and a lot of people aren't going to know, like, okay, like, but Martin Luther King's about, that's not the point, guys. The point is, a lot of people want the end result of something versus, like, actually putting in the actual day-to-day operations of getting to that end point, you know?
Yeah, and it's a lot of work. Like, the stuff that in order for us to get our channel to monetization, I was streaming so frequently, and I was doing cosplay streams so frequently where I am making cosplays from the ground up in about 2 hours before the show. With no funding from the other people, trying to figure out what's in my closet. I was doing anywhere between 4 and 8 streams a week.
Like, I know the feeling. Yeah.
100% not sustainable when I also am working full time and am trying to go back to college. Like, cannot do that anymore. But I pushed for about 8 months just doing that in my spare time. So I was either at, and I had 2 jobs then. I was either at my military job, I was at my second job, or I was streaming. And then I would sleep for anywhere between 4 and 6 hours a night. So it's totally not sustainable, but I did the push to get us to monetization. And then I was like, I have to back off. I'm going to burn out. And people come back and they go, oh, it would be so nice if I could have, like, you know, 1,000 subs like you do. And I was like, do you know what I did to get 1,000 subs? Like, it was not simple. It wasn't small things. I don't know where that comes from.
I don't know where that comes from with people. Do people know how you generate a sub? Because people gotta understand, you start at zero and you have to give people a reason to sub to you after, like,
oh, yeah,
maybe some friends or families give you like maybe I got like a 10-person sub boost. You got to get those other subs on your own. This is one of the fields where I would say if someone isn't actually doing it, they won't just actually know the ins and outs. Like, someone will always have the idea of what a viewer is, for the most part, where they'll understand things from just a viewer point of view. And that can be useful in some instances. But if you don't actually do it, like, people just won't understand it. Like, the average person isn't even going to understand what a thumbnail is or how to even title a video properly. They don't even know what tags are.
Understanding bumpers, intros, outros, all of it. Like, I actually wanted to join the military to be part of the video production, because that's what I did in high school. When I was in high school, I was doing it at a collegiate level, and so I was getting college credit for it. I love video editing. That was like one of my main passions. And I can't even do the video editing to the quality that I want to do for this, because I have too many other things going on and I can't spend the time, because that's what people don't understand. I did a time lapse of this, right? So this is just like a little Lego 8-bit thing, like pixelated thing that I put together. Oh, cool. Right? Yeah. So it was really fun. I had to put it together to know how I was gonna do it. And then I had to re-put it together where I was filming it, right? So I could do a time lapse of it. It was an hour and a half filming of putting it back together after already having the entire layout. And then it was 2.5 hours of editing for me to get about 45 to 50 seconds of footage. And people don't realize that's what it takes. So I spent, what is that? 6 hours? I spent 5.5 to 6 hours putting this together, filming it, editing it, and then putting it out so people could watch a 45-second video. And the worst part is, after doing all of that work, I got so few hits on that video.
This is what, that's the other thing I was going to bring up to you, is the videos, I'm pretty sure, because I've been doing this since like 2015. I told you I had the previous YouTube channel that YouTube acts because they're fucking liberals, but as people know, the videos that I did randomly, without really thinking, and just threw them up, no editing, just me just basically filming.
Yeah, just having fun. Those are the ones that skyrocket. The ones that you spend all the time on, nothing.
They do horrible.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I uploaded it as a video. I re-uploaded it as a short. I put it on Instagram and I got fucking crickets, like just nothing. And then I'll be sitting here on a stream that'll be in the background and someone will be like, "Hey, Shay, did you do that eye back there?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." I'm like, "Where the fuck are you?" Oh my gosh. Thank you. I appreciate it. I like it. Yeah. I thought it was neat.
Like I like the videos that I'll do that are like newsworthy, they'll get like views and stuff like that. When they'll get like decent traction. The ones where I'm like putting in like all the tabs are layered out properly, the information's there properly, everything is layered out. Fuck all. I'm like,
yeah.
Sometimes you even got a question why you even did it, but then you realize, hey, I actually did enjoy putting out a good product. So like, even if I've had many videos like that on my past channel where videos that I basically just kind of just did that for, they later on popped off. Like, so sometimes videos that you might do, check them back in about a year or two till they popped off. There's videos that I did like, man, 2 years ago that popped off really hard. I didn't even know. I just like I said before, when it comes to me and videos, I just keep going. It doesn't hit.
Yeah.
Cool. Next one. Yeah,
that's the same thing we do on Red Valkyrie. We just we just keep uploading stuff. Most of our stuff is live stream, which YouTube hates and totally nerfs.
YouTube actually doesn't like live streaming. Don't factor in, because you've been on YouTube for a long time or just been like an average active viewer. Remember back then when YouTube would actually unsub people if the stream's replay value wasn't anything more than like 10-15 minutes? So if your stream didn't have like people watching it after it was over, they just would unsub people. They don't like live streaming. The only reason why they promoted live streaming now is because Twitch is big on live streaming. They want to compete with Twitch.
Twitch started taking a lot of their viewership, and a lot of the people that were monetized on YouTube got monetized quicker and were earning more money for their effort on Twitch. And so now YouTube has to try and compensate to get those people back and to keep the people that they have. But the thing that's really interesting, and a lot of people, this is all backroom stuff that if you don't do YouTube, you don't realize. Like, I had a YouTube channel what was it? 2009? 2010?
2009, like, I was in eighth grade then. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was back when YouTube was just starting. When, like, Shane Carl was big on YouTube and nobody even knows that damn name anymore. I had a YouTube channel. I had a YouTube channel with my then husband, and we were putting out videos and stuff. We were doing a lot of stuff with gaming. We were doing a lot of stuff like game reviews and all that kind of, like, I had a whole persona that is not far off of how I actually am. She was a little sadistic and kind of abusive, and it was funny. But I had this whole persona, and, like, we were doing really, really well enough that we actually started to become a threat to another female who was on YouTube, who was really known because she did a Metal Gear Solid review video where she wore a low cut top and then ran through the woods with a fake gun. And there was a lot of bouncing. So she had a lot of fans, and she decided that she was going to name our channel outright and talk about how she thought that we were hacks. And then that was my first introduction to simps, because I had all of them come after me, and they attacked everything from my voice to my education level to my appearance. One of them talked about my jacked up teeth. I was like, "Cool, thanks. This is fun. I'm glad that I'm here for this." At the time, I was a lot younger. I was in my early 20s, and I couldn't take the mean girls of the internet. It was just too much for me. So they were mass reporting our channel, saying that we were breaking copyright, which we weren't. We actually wrote articles for gaming, like, companies. Mm-hmm. We were writing articles that were being published in magazines, and they gave us footage.
You were a game journalist. Okay.
Yeah. And they had like footage and stuff that they were giving us, that they were like, "Hey, go ahead and use it because it helps us advertise our game." And so we were using all of that. Well, they started mass reporting us for copyright, saying that we had stolen game footage to put in our videos. And YouTube didn't even question it. They straight up were threatening to just nerf our account entirely. So we took it down before they could. But yeah, it's YouTube's always been cutthroat. If people think that it hasn't, YouTube's always been cutthroat. From its inception, it has just been...
Because you'll know this. Remember how back then, when you get a warning on your channel, it didn't expire? So, like, mm-hmm. people have asked me, now, look, YouTube gives warnings and they expire now. No, guys, when I got my very first warning, this is back when they didn't expire. So if I got another strike, it would just be a strike, right? Yeah. Now, apparently, you get warnings and they go away. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. If you don't have an issue that happens within the next couple of months, then the warning will just be like, "Oh, our mistake." I've had YouTube flag me saying mm-hmm. that I had indecent content, and I was in a mock turtleneck long sleeve shirt, but it was silver. And so because it was silver, they were like, "This is indecent." I was like, "I'm literally wearing more clothing than I do in half of my cosplays." And then on the opposite side of it, I had a cosplay where I literally had a starfish glued to my titty and nothing. I didn't even get a strike. They didn't even, like, question it. They were like, "Nope, that's fine." I was like, "I do not understand you guys at all." Like,
hail nerds. What's up, Creators Outlet? How you doing?
What's up, man? Creators Outlet?
What's up, Michael? Hi, King League. They're about to get way worse, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. The day before I lost it, I was going to have one of the strikes over. We had a stream where I was celebrating one of my ex-girlfriend's sister's graduation party. We didn't do anything. I told people before the stream, no, nothing about rape. I'm not even like that. I don't care if anyone talks about that stuff. Really, if we're on, like, Rumble here, I don't care. But I told them, for this show, just don't do any of that stuff. We'll be good. I can get through the first strike. They're like, "Okay." I know we did nothing wrong, because I know we didn't break any rules. I made sure we did it. Next day I woke up, account is permanently suspended. What the fuck we do?
Yeah.
So you can tell and say they wanted to just fucking get rid of that.
Recently, we lost our ability to stream on Facebook.
What did you do?
We had Nira X on. Like, we literally, we had Bill and Cat Mouse on. We talked about Nira X. We talked about the new comic. Facebook was like, "Yeah, you had indecent content." I was like, "When? Where?" Like, point. And so I went, I want to dispute this. And they went, we've lodged your dispute. And I was like, what does that mean? They're just like, okay, you know what? Fine. I don't want to stream on Facebook anyway. Like, whatever. So, like, the past couple of streams that we've had, we haven't been able to go on Facebook.
And people wonder just why. People wonder why people go on Rumble. You don't deal with any of that over here. Yeah, people say, but won't you sacrifice less viewership? But that's a double-edged sword. I tell people, if you want the same stuff you had on YouTube, if you there's a saying of like, you need to be the forge that makes things happen. You make a place where you want it to be. If people want that stuff there on Rumble, they just gonna have to put it there and put enough of it there to drive people there to watch it. That's it. Everything starts from somewhere. You have to keep pushing there. Like, also, right now, that's why this show's not on YouTube. I'm just done with that, you know? But the other show is obviously, that's a little bit more friendly for their guidelines, but fuck them. People are just trash. Like, yeah, YouTube's cool on getting to know people and getting certain things connected, but there's so much problems that people just don't understand that it's just, you tell them and they go, oh, you shouldn't just do this. It's not just that easy. What?
Yeah.
They don't even give you a reason why what you did was wrong.
Well, and a lot of it's inconsistent too. Like, Sai was actually going through other YouTube channels and they were like, I'm going to send you a screenshot from this girl's cosplay try on haul that she streamed. And this girl was literally in it was long sleeve and it came to here, but it was 100% mesh see-through and she didn't have anything else on.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried it on in 4 different colors. Full frontal. She was jumping up and down. At one point, she grabbed her own boobs and everything. And
I need to see a video like that for research purposes, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, clearly. And that was perfectly fun on YouTube because she had like, I want to say she had like 40,000 subs or something like that. And so YouTube's like, oh no, that's fine. Like, you have enough subs. You actually earn us money.
Did you see the recent one where the guy was opening up his butthole and he was shaving it?
No.
But YouTube didn't flag his account because it was I think they deemed it as educational. Like, wait a minute, a dude can show his whole butthole and shave it, and what? Hold on, we got criticized for talking about some loony people, and they're like, no, he can't talk about CNN on this platform. We love CNN, we love Don Lemon. He's our black guy. You got to defend him. Backwards platform, and people say, but it's about conforming to the rules. It's really hard to say that when I've been around for YouTube ever since it began, and I know what type of system this was before. Like, back in the day, it literally was Wild Wild West here. So it's hard to be like, just go by their rules. First, they're inconsistent with their own rules. So people have this thing now called reuse content, and you know, a person that I'm consistently, we're talking about that, he was like, it kind of makes sense. It doesn't make sense in any areas. Reuse content could easily be tracks for every channel in existence. People want to know why? Reuse content is something you could use in your intros. Everyone reuses their intros and outros pretty consistently, so they change them out. Couldn't YouTube, by that logic, just demonetize you then? That's reuse content. That literally is. You know? Nothing they say matters because it's all inconsistent garbage. There was a woman having sex with her dog on video, on here, and they were like, you know what? Her channel's still wrong. No strikes, no warnings, nothing, even though that goes clearly against their terms of service about abusing animals. But hey, you know, what I did was so wrong. Makes no sense, you know? There's so many other examples. What was that girl, Sniper Wolf, or whatever, was stalking people, going to their houses, video filming, her doxing someone? Nothing.
Yeah, there's...
Like, if you want to talk about fairness, shut the fuck up about that YouTube. That's out the window. There's so many examples of them being clear hypocrites.
Yeah, you know? I think the big thing is when it comes to, because everybody tries to chase the algorithm, and you can, and some people are really good at it and good at trying to figure out how. At the end of the day, I just focus on, I make content that I can be proud of, that I like, and I'm not worried about what everyone else has got going on. Like, I'm not worried about what's on other people's plates. I'm worried about mine. You know, and so when you kind of focus it down like that and you're paying more attention to what you're doing, you end up having a lot more success. So all of this stuff, like, I'm looking at YouTube and I'm going, you know what? YouTube is a means to an end. But again, I personally do not like giving a lot of power to other people. And YouTube being able to completely destroy all the stuff that I've been building and working on for the past, you know, 4.5 years doesn't give me warm fuzzies. So we have stuff that backs up to Rumble. We stream to Twitch. We used to stream to Facebook. We don't anymore. We did DLive, all those different kinds of things. And so people could find us on multiple platforms, but also, we save a lot of our videos and we started uploading them on our own website because we record them on StreamYard. I can get the raw video. Like, that's mine. I can put it wherever I want. And so we started doing that on our own website so we could maintain our stuff and still, you know, have people be able to see it without us losing all of the content. Because like I said, we've done over 400 Red Valkyrie Presents, which means I've done over 400 cosplays. And I don't repeat cosplays. So like, I'll have people on for their book more than once, and I will do different characters or different versions of characters, because I think that it's a cop-out. If I've already done the cosplay once, it's a cop-out for me to do it again. So it's a constant challenge that I've, for some reason, given myself.
Well, I'm going to start here. Horror movies, because you like horror movies a lot. Top 5 horror movies.
Oh, man. I don't even know if I've got a top 5 because like I said, I have ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. I have such a hard time remembering things. So for me, I will remember like 2 or 3 scenes that I really, really liked in movies. Mm-hmm. And I will even forget what movie they came from. And I'll be watching a movie and I'll be like, oh, I have seen this before. And then people are like, oh, well then we can stop it. I'm like, oh no, I don't know what happens. I just know that I've seen it. And they're like, so you've seen it, but you, and I was like, I have zero memory of it. I know that I've seen it. And every single time something happens, I'm like, oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm. But I have to see it first for me to remember it. So when it comes to top 5 horror movies, I don't have specific movies. I will say I do very much love, I like psychological horrors and I like paranormal because when it comes to slasher and stuff like that, I'm 6'1", you know, my dad taught me how to fight.
I'm not like small person. Volleyball chicks. Okay.
Yeah. I play volleyball too. It's funny. So I go for all of that kind of stuff. Because if somebody were coming at me, there's certain things physiologically that will happen. Like if you hit somebody hard enough in the nose, their eyes will water. That is just how it happens, right? If you punch somebody hard enough and you close the gap between their jaw, right by their ear, mm-hmm. or hit them in the temple, there's a good chance that they're going to pass out, right? Mm-hmm. You can make somebody black out. You can make somebody pass out because it'll stop their mm-hmm. breathing for a second. So because there's things like that, I have a hard time with slashers because I'm like, I mean, if a guy's coming at me, I can probably just kick him in the balls, you mm-hmm. know, like I'm like, you will have some kind of a reaction. I mean, unless you're, you know, Jason Voorhees, in which case, like, I'm fucked. But also Jason Voorhees is paranormal. He's not just a dude, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't find the blood and the slashing and the like, oh, we killed teenagers having sex at a campground. Like, it's just, it's not scary to me.
So like, it's a horror movie, you know, probably like The Thing, you would think is pretty good, I'd imagine.
That one I actually haven't seen, oddly enough. So I worked in a movie store. You think I would have?
Have you seen The Descent?
Yes.
The cave one. I'm really good.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that. That sounds very, very familiar. The ones that I really got behind. Mm-hmm. So I liked the found footage ones for a while.
Okay.
Like Paranormal Activity and stuff like that.
Like Chernobyl Diaries.
Yeah. That was. I remember that one. Yeah.
That was a little weird. weird movie.
Anytime you talk Chernobyl, it gets very awkward. the other ones I really love are the ones that are centered around Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. Because if you've paid attention to them as actual people and the things that they've done, those people were fascinating with the kind of stuff mm-hmm. that they did, the amount of cursed objects that they would find, the amount of exorcisms and stuff like that that they accomplished. And there's, I do this every time, I always forget the name. Let me see if I can figure it out. But there's some that are loosely based off of, there we go, every time. So have you heard of Ralph Sarchi?
No.
Okay. Deliver Us from Evil.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, it's such a good movie. If you don't remember it, go and rewatch it. So Ralph Sarchi is a New York cop. So he worked the beat, right? And he saw the worst of the worst. He saw like kids that were abused until they were, you know, no longer alive and things like that. So he had a very cynical view of the world. And when it came time for people talking about religion and having faith, he was like, I can't believe in a God that would let this kind of stuff happen. That was his stance. He was 100% skeptic, did not buy into any of that kind of religious type stuff. So when people started talking exorcism, he was like, yeah, okay. Until he ended up in a room where an exorcism happened. And he went from non-believer to working heavily with the Catholic Church to help with exorcisms. And this isn't that's not the movie plot. That's Ralph Sarchi's actual life. Like, that's real. They've interviewed him. So Deliver Us from Evil is part his story about those exorcisms and stuff like that. It gets a little sensationalized, obviously, because it's for entertainment, but right. They did interviews with the actual Ralph Sarchi officer, and Olivia Munn is one of the actresses. I think she plays Sarchi's wife. Let me double check. But they had videos that they technically, yeah, she did. She played his wife. So they had videos that technically they're not supposed to show. Like whenever the Catholic Church videos an exorcism, mm-hmm. it's not supposed to be like, it's not for public consumption. Nobody else is supposed to see it. But they had them and they were trying to convince, like get the cast more on board. So they had Joel McHale was one of the actors who saw it. I think Eric Bana, who played Sarchi, both of them watched the films of an exorcism happening. And then Olivia Munn said that she wanted to watch them, and they tried to prevent her from seeing them because they were like, you do not need to see this. Like, this will stick with you forever. It will change you, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, fuck you, I'm going to watch it. She watched them. When they interviewed her later, she was like, if you were ever a skeptic and you have any faith in me, let me just tell you that shit is real. And she's like, I can't begin to describe, but it will change you if you are ever approached with it. She's like, my entire outlook of all this stuff is different now after working on this movie.
Do you remember watching your first horror movie or which one it was?
My first horror movie ever.
Everyone has that first one they like that scared them. Mine was Child's Play 1.
I do, and it was horrible because I didn't even want to watch it. I was at a slumber party when I was like 12, 11, maybe a little younger. And they didn't tell me what we were watching. They turned on Child's Play. I did not handle it well.
Grace, we have the first one. Yeah, first Child's Play movie is legitimately like terrifying.
And that's the thing is I have a lot of, like, when I was a little kid, I had like porcelain dolls. I had this really creepy clown doll. I always tell the story. I had this really creepy clown doll that was from when I was a baby, and it's supposed to be soothing. And like, you had like twist his little back and he plays Bring Out the Clowns, except his head does this as it plays Bring Out the Clowns. And I'm like, how is that soothing? Because he's got like a completely white face, got the little smile, dead eyes, and then his head just spins around like that, and it plays the creepiest. And when the song winds down, like Bring Out the Clowns isn't like a upbeat happy song, it's like kind of somber. as it winds down, it turns from somber to fucking evil. It's horrible. Mm. And so I had all of those kind of things. And then I see Child's Play and I was like, oh my God, they could kill me. And I was like, I always thought they might. I always was worried about them. And so that just, that pushed me over the edge. And then I ended up seeing, I can't remember the name of this movie. But there was a movie with a doll that looked like this kid's teacher. And he had it. He was creeped out by it. He was trying to get rid of it. The doll got mad that he wasn't playing with her anymore. And so the doll started attacking members of his family in like really passive aggressive ways. Like his mom was up on a ladder changing a light bulb at one point, and the doll pushed the ladder shut. So the mom fell. And when she fell down the stairs from the ladder and got seriously injured and stuff. And it was all because the kid refused to acknowledge the doll. So the doll intentionally hurt his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then was back and was like, if you would have just paid attention to me, none of this would have happened. Do I need to go after your dad next kind of thing? And it was like, I saw that kind of shit and I was like, oh my gosh, this is evil. So like I boxed up every single doll that I had that gave me any heebie-jeebies with like a literal roll of duct tape because I was so terrified of them. I was like, I'm at least going to hear you. Like I put everything I could on top of the box. And I put anything noisy around the box. I was like, you break out of this box, I'm at least going to hear you before you kill me. So I will have a chance to defend myself.
I'll tell people that first childhood movie, that was mine. And that man, I didn't become not scared of horror movies until, man, we didn't really watch that many growing up. But I remember what I told, there was a day I was like, I want to go through this whole series. So I watched all of them. I don't know why I did. My brain went to the fucking deep end. So I ended up watching all the childhood movies, and I was like, I'm still never watching these again. I hate creepy dolls. I just can't stand it. People are like, would you like my... I do not... Creepy... They look freaky looking. I'm sorry. Those look weird. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once I told myself, hey, this is just not real, and then people are just acting, my brain went, I'm not scared of these anymore. So I watch like everything. I remember just being completely desensitized to everything. There's very few things that will shock me.
Yeah.
For the most part, I'm mostly looking at it, like you said, through like a psychological aspect, like God, like Sinister. I remember watching that.
Yeah,
stuff like that would be like, okay, this is kind of intriguing here. I like where this is going. Or I never watched The Shining, but I remember seeing like clips of it.
The Shining is very good. If you want to watch a man's descent into madness, I like The Shining. The Shining was really scary when it first came out because. There's things that they did that, like, the freaking elevator that just rushes out an entire tidal wave of blood, like, that wasn't a thing before, you know. Johnny chasing his wife through the house and then busting through the bathroom with an axe, like, that also wasn't something that really happened frequently. Now there's so many other things that are so much more gruesome or horrifying that it seems very, very tame in comparison. But if you ever want to watch a man's descent into madness, and if you ever want to know what it's actually like in those remote areas like Alaska and stuff during the winter when you're cut off from everything, like that's what it feels like. And it's a little terrifying. But it's a very good movie.
I'm pretty sure you remember Nightmare on Elm Street, the part where the little girls where he comes out of the sheath in the on the ceiling. Actually, I think it was one of the famous scenes of the movie. Like, so looking at like horror movies now compared to what you were used to and accustomed to back then, do you think it's gotten better, or it's getting better, or it's just kind of like stagnant? Actually, because I don't feel like people care enough about horror movies like they used to. It feels just kind of just like, oh, it's just meh. They're there. Some people kind of treat them like now.
I think the problem is there was a certain craft behind a horror movie back when I was growing up, back in the day, right? And the craft was give just enough that it will trigger your imagination and then stop and let your imagination do the rest. That's why Blair Witch Project was so successful when it came out, because you never really saw any of the bad. You saw the weird after effects that happened, but half of the movie, the camera's jostling around so much, you feel all the nervous energy of the actors, but you can't actually make out everything that's happening. And because there's that bit of, I'm not entirely sure what's going on, your imagination runs with it and makes it way worse than it was. People remember older movies very differently from how they actually are when they go back and watch them as adults because of that memory aspect. Nowadays, movies think, I want to scare you, so I'm going to show you everything. And that's when it turns into like the end of It. You know, like almost any Stephen King movie. The books are always better. And the ends of almost every single Stephen King movie go from being creepy into comical and ridiculous, where you're like, okay, but you showed me the bad and you did it not well enough. Like my imagination was 10 times scarier than the crap you just showed me. So this is what you're telling me, like, the big bad is. I'm like, oh, okay, that looks ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, A24 has some good horror movies. Their movies are weird. I can see why a lot of people are turned off by them. Those are odd movies to watch. I couldn't watch a ton of them in like one sitting.
I'll have to check some of them out. Yes, The Art of Suspense, 100%.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with horror movies now. Yeah. It's like horror movies back when you watch like older ones, they knew how to kind of... suspense would be more like... I know people have seen horror movies where, like, you know, the main character is doing something in the house alone and you know the villain's coming, but then they'll do a scene where they fake out him being like in a closet. Turns out he was like right behind... Not even right behind you. You may walk outside, think you're safe. He grabs you, takes you back. Like, just the way that people... had suspense, the way they built up suspense, the way they kind of manipulated how the villain like terrorized like the main cast made the horror movies a lot more interesting. Now, you know, I don't think there's been ones that have done things as good as that, you know? Like,
yeah.
For me personally, I don't really know if I've seen a horror movie that has been as good as at least the ones that I consider like my top 5, top 10, actually. Like, even when you look at like the first Halloween movie, The feeling that movie gives you when you watch it, because I watch like a lot of times, the best feeling I've ever gotten when watching it is, you know, the feeling of you're not always safe. That's what makes a good horror movie. You know the hero is never safe and, you know, giving just enough just to make sure that they're safe only to take it all away. It's a thing that master horror people usually do, actually.
Yeah. Well, in this, it's an art of storytelling overall that has really just kind of gone downhill, because in so many stories, people forget that they're show don't tell, right? And especially when you're talking in comics, show don't tell. You have literally a visual medium. Don't tell me all the stuff that's happening. Show me and let me put it together. It's the same when you're writing. It's how much information am I giving you and how much am I not giving you in order for you to piece together and have that cinema-like experience while you're reading my book. And people lately over-explain everything to the point that it makes everything sound clunky, and it takes away any suspense, any horror, any imagination, and it turns something into a slog instead of being enjoyable. If you want a really interesting, it's a horror comedy, which is hard to do. Most horror comedies, I think, are absolutely terrible. And in all honesty, I think half of the Saw movies hit horror comedy because they're just so 100% ridiculous.
Yeah, like after like the first three, they're basically just like soap operas, honestly.
I had such a problem with the girl who was trying to get a key, and she put her hand up and then the thing was like going to cut into her if she pulled her hand back out. So what does she do? Knowing that she can hear the guy coming, she puts her hand up on the other side of it that's going to do the same thing. And I was like, how dumb are you? If you had one hand in and you could reach this thing, you put your other hand and you move those things out of the way to move your hand down so you don't cut yourself. Why would you put your other arm up? Like, you are so stupid. I can't even talk to you right now. Like, the Saw movies just piss me off. But if you want a really good horror comedy that I was not expecting to be good, Freaky.
Freaky. Oh, that's the one with
Have you seen it?
Catherine Newton.
Let me see.
That's the one where you have like that big giant white. I mean, I forgot the name of the actor. He puts his soul into her body and he switches them.
I remember. Yeah. So Catherine Newton and oddly enough, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. What? Yeah.
Vince Vaughn is the serial killer, and oh my gosh, that was one of the funnest freaking movies.
Yeah.
That still. The amount of suspense that they managed to maintain, like...
Oh, you got a $10 donation.
Oh, don't thank you. Tell. Cricket Painter says, shh, don't tell Si. Cricket Painter is Si's simp, and so the fact that he just did $10, I won't tell Si, but thank you.
Thank we you.
Appreciate you.
Cook Painter, if you want to give me, like, $1,000 and I'll give you just endless hugs, that's, you know, hey. They say you guys owe us reparations. You know, you just got to start doing it right now.
Wow. Oh, you just went there. Yeah, no. Freaky is hilarious, but towards the end, like, the level of suspense that I felt in those final scenes, I legitimately was like, okay, I did not expect it to take this turn. That was fucking epic.
There was one on the Dead Meat YouTube channel. Where they went over when it was released back in like 2017. It was about this boy and his friend terrorizing his babysitter, and the ending. Those are the endings where I was like, okay, that's a movie I can like. I forgot the name of it, but it was pretty good actually. When horror does a really good movie, a nice solid. That's like with horror, it's really hard to make the characters like stick because they're all cliches. We're being honest here, like very rarely does a horror character like stand out. You know, but I think the ones that make the characters stick to the overall bigger narrative of the movie are the ones that like really, really stick out to me because I remember, oh God, fuck. What was it? There was like, what's the last one I watched that was really good? Oh no, that one's part of a different genre. Like there's the, oh Lord, I should, if you don't know horror, there's this subgenre called the rape revenge ones. Holy mother of God. Those are ridiculous.
I have a hard time with those, but I have a hard time with those for other reasons, just because it's...
Like, I'm all for the girl ripping the dudes apart. If a girl, that happens to a girl, I'll be like, you A-O-der, rip them apart. Film it for me. I'll watch it.
Yeah. But
good Lord. Like, the I Spit on Your Graves ones are just ridiculous. There's one
called, oh, yeah.
The last one I watched was called Revenge. That's the one I watched. That one is... Imagine that. Imagine the girl getting, you know, raped. And then she runs from these people and she jumps off a cliff and she falls to her death, presumably, to a tree branch that impales her. And then she lives. And I'm like, all right, this is where we're going peak insanity here.
Yeah.
Girl's basically Batman.
Yeah. And that's those kinds of movies I have such a hard time getting into. But it's because like when you talk about the paranormal, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if a slasher comes at me, I know things that I can do. Even if Jason Voorhees were to come at me, there are things that I could do that will immobilize him, right?
Right, yeah.
It's going to be harder, sure, but there are still things that I could do.
You're a white lady. That's how it works. He has a mom, the white mom that he has, you know?
It'll be fine. I'll just be like, it's all right, Jason, and then everything will be fine. He'll just be like, mommy, we'll just hug. But no, the thing that's funny about the paranormal is the fuck you gonna do if a demon comes after you?
That's the problem. Yeah, that really fucking sucks.
Like, they don't adhere to physics or any of the laws of our world or realm, so...
So you're talking about movies, you like Hereditary, seeing movies like that, right?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, gosh. Like, I'm trying to remember good psychological horror movies, and I'm trying to remember, because there's a dime a dozen, because, like, horror movies, guys, come out so frequently, it's, like, which one to stick out, the one that sticks in your head is, like, the one that you probably watched that had a crazy death scene. I remember, because it wasn't freaky, I remember he killed her professor by putting him through a freaking giant buzzsaw. I was like,
yeah! Right. After the professor punches him in her body in the face, which, can I just say, was freaking hilarious because he punched her and then he's like, yeah, what? And I was like, you punched a 17-year-old girl. Why are you acting like you don't know that that's the serial killer in her body? Like,
there was one part of that movie I remember where, like, she was at a party, a guy tried touching her ass, and she was like, your touch makes this pussy wet like sandpaper.
Yeah, I think she said drier than sandpaper or something like that. Yeah, it was bad. Oh. It was bad. God. There's so many. That's such. If you just want a ridiculous, over the top, but still very entertaining and really having some nice suspenseful moments, Freaky is a good fucking movie. It was just so much fun. If you want to talk about like a lot of the psychological horrors and stuff, like Donnie Darko. Donnie Darko is a really good one. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. I haven't seen it recently. I need to watch it again because
Strangers.
I think so.
So one where the couple goes to the retreat and then the serial killers come around them.
Yes.
Backhead. Yeah. I love that first movie. First movie is great. The best thing about horror movies, I think, is setting. What could really make or break a good horror movie is the setting surrounding it. So if you're like with your, spouse, whatever, alone, miles away from civilization, on a vacation, and you get serial killers, you know, might want to roll the dice on that one, you know?
Yeah. The setting really plays into the overall mood. So, you know, most horror movies try to play on people's like biggest fears. So isolation, lack of communication, lack of supplies. A lot of them do. Like, I have a severe fear of dark, deep water.
So, like, cave horror movies you can't do.
Yeah. anything with, like the... So, Cy keeps trying to get me to watch The Meg, and they keep on joking that they're going to make me watch it one day. I was like, I do not think you understand how viscerally wrong you are. I will never watch that movie. There is never an instance where you will get me to watch that movie because it is like one of my biggest fucking fears. And I used to have in my bedroom, I used to have this dark green carpet when I was a teenager. At night, it looked like a dark abyssal water, and I had almost an impossible time. If I had to like go to the bathroom, I had such a hard time getting out of bed and putting my feet down on that carpet because it reminded me too much of dark, deep water. And I felt like I was going to sink in, something was going to come out, kill me, whatever. I just couldn't do it. One of the most severe fears that I could possibly have. I can't go into like lakes. Like I can't do it.
There is one movie that I know a lot of people like that the scene did get me. Everyone's gonna know this is Deep Blue Sea, the part where they kill off the one character. The way they did it, I was like, okay, that's where you get me. Cause you don't expect the one character to die because obviously it's a pretty big name character right there, you know? Like that was one of I legitimately actually bounced out of my chair the first time. I was like, that they just did that? Like that's where I can get respect for a horror movie. If you do the craziest things I don't anticipate coming, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I'm honestly a really easy jump scare. Like I'll even know jump scares are coming. I know they're coming. I can see them a mile away and I still jump and scream when they happen. And then afterwards I'm like, motherfucker, I knew that was happening. Like I'm a super easy jump scare and I'm a baby if you take me to like horror like the haunted houses and stuff like that.
Oh no.
I'm a complete and utter baby. Like people come at me and I'm like, I can't do it. Leek, I would like to argue with you on this because
if you shoot a demon, you might be like supernatural or some shit. I need to get one.
I really don't think that a demon's gonna give a shit if you shoot him or chainsaw him. And I know that you are likely referencing a very specific movie, but I think that your movie is wrong.
So. I'm just saying that if you could shoot a demon, that's probably not a demon because demons are spirits, and spirits can't get harmed by bullets. Probably. Just saying.
Exactly my point. Like,
I'm pretty sure if they want to bend you over and do stuff to you, you'll be screwed. Actually,
yeah.
The Witch 2015. Oh, that's the one with Anya Taylor-Joy. I remember. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I know by name. I know she's in that. It's a folk horror that really got to me. God damn. I heard it's a pretty good... Oh, God. That's the director that did Dwarfman and they did The Lighthouse. I saw two of that guy's movies. I like them. I think his movies are actually pretty good. I haven't seen that one specifically yet. The other thing I wanted to ask you, which is gaming. Because I'm pretty sure you're known for liking gaming. So what type of gaming do you like specifically?
So I haven't had time to play in forever, but I really, really love RPGs. I used to do some fighting games a little bit, though I was terrible at them. Mm-hmm. we do D&D. Actually, Woodrow, who was in the chat earlier, is our GM, and he runs really ridiculous campaigns for me, Psy, Death Metal Hero, Luke, and now we've added in our little sister, Raven, and so we all come together, and Woodrow puts us in ridiculous situations and tries to kill us, and we try to rules lawyer our way out of it and usually fail. But so I've played a lot. Actually, something a lot of people don't realize, before I joined the military, I was actually in the final stages of competing to be part of a professional girl gamer group.
Huh.
So I was gonna be a part of this girl gamer group. They had two positions. There were three people that were still competing. And they said that I had a very good chance, but the problem was they couldn't guarantee that they would take me. So it was because it was still up in the air, and they wouldn't be able to let me know until after my enlistment was supposed to start. And so I basically was like, I can either tell the Air Force, no, thank you, and pull my job and my contract from it and hope that the girl gaming group works out, or I can go for the sure thing that has medical and healthcare and
this was before and all that kind of stuff. Esports, I imagine, right?
This was in 2006. This was when it was just starting up.
Oh,
and,
God, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up making the right decision.
Yeah, thankfully, as you know, gaming industry's kind of, you know, falling apart.
Well, that specific girl gaming group 2 years later dissolved. So I was really, really lucky that I was like, I'm going to go with the military. And then I end up like seeing the people they picked, and I was like, oh, I was better than her and blah, blah, blah. And, I used to do first person shooters, and I was one of those people that was like annoyingly good and had no business being good, because I constantly would fuck up my dual joysticking. Like I would like try to look down, I'd be staring up at the sky, and then somebody would come at me and I'd like pop, and I'd get a headshot, and they were like, what the fuck? I was like, I'm a good aim when I'm scared. So I used to play first-person shooters. I love RPGs, especially JRPGs. I try to not do MMOs as often anymore because I am an easily addicted person. So,
yeah, that's the thing. It's why I don't do a lot of certain things. I tell myself, because not because I don't want to do them, because I know I'll spend hours and hours and hours trying to get the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I played so many MMOs, and I played them like every single moment that I had free. So it was like, I would play them and it'd be like 3 a.m. and I'd have to get up at 6 to like,
yeah,
PT. Like, and I was like, just one more quest. And I was like, no, you need to go to bed. Like, be an adult. You're not allowed to do this anymore. So I know that I get easily addicted to them. So I try to stay away from MMOs, despite the fact that Psy keeps trying to drag me back into them.
And
so I was like, play Star Wars with me. I'm like,
the last few things I'll ask you, which is the first thing, is any big plans coming up for your YouTube channel or yourself coming up this year?
Yeah, actually. So we have an art auction that we do every quarter. The next one is going to be in May. So we normally would do it in April. But in April, I am likely going to be in Bavaria for 5 weeks. So I plan on, while I'm there for training, I plan on getting a bunch of content and interesting takes that you guys don't normally get from me. I also have my separate YouTube channel that's by Gaslight that's going to have my cosplays, my art, and any videos about like ADHD or like day-to-day stuff. And Psy is gearing up to start Valkyrie's Play, which is our game dedicated channel. That's actually where our D&D game streams are going to be moved to. And Psy is going to be doing like Cyberpunk and Payday playthroughs. And we're going to look at doing a couple other video game type stuff over on that channel as well. So go sub.
And last thing I'll ask you is any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular, and anything else you want to say before we head out?
So a shout out to everybody who's watching. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you. If you want to find more of me, the name is that there, that way. There, right there.
There.
So feel free to hit me up. My DMs are always open. If you're interested in ever coming on our show, we book like 2 months out in advance. And the main shout out is to my other half who is not here. So Cyborg Valkyrie, everyone should go check them out as well. They do a lot of hot takes. They're like the spicy side of Red Valkyrie. And I'm like the sad mom that keeps Cy in check. So if you want a much spicier version of things, Cy is the person to go to, because they're the one that brings the bitch and I'm the one that calms the bitch down.
Good Lord. That's the thing. You always need the balance of both, you know?
We do. You know what? It's a good balance, even though people ask us if we need marriage counseling frequently.
Good Lord.
We're not married.
You know, I'm married to my my anime pillow, actually. You know, it's that never leaves me, actually.
Congratulations. I hope it's a happy union.
She got big old titties, and that's all that matters, right?
Of course she does. did you stuff extra pillows in the titty area just to make them any pillows. Even... Oh, okay.
That just, you know, my couch is my girlfriend, actually. She can't leave me. So thank you guys for watching. Can't wait to have you on eventually down the road, maybe this year or sometime soon, for a second appearance. Actually, it was great talking to you. I don't know, forgot which month you said you're gonna be going out for 5 weeks. Holy crap, that's ridiculous. You're gonna go on vacation for a little bit, so have fun.
It's
on that
training, it's for work, so
So we'll see you guys later. Have a great night, everybody. Peace.